Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. The first time I interviewed our next guest several years ago, the entire market capitalization of all cryptocurrencies was around $40 billion. Recently, the market value of Bitcoin alone crossed $1 trillion. What is going on? Are we really on the verge of a sea change in payment systems? Alan Gillespie is a chartered financial analyst with FinTrust Capital Advisors and an expert in cryptocurrencies. He joins us now by phone from his office in Greenville, South Carolina. Alan, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be here.
Well, Alan, get us up to date here on the cryptocurrency market. There's been quite a sea change since the last time we talked about this.
Since last time we talked, Mike, I think the infrastructure around the marketplace has really developed and it's becoming a lot more mature and will continue to mature over the foreseeable future. Probably the most notable thing would be PayPal's entry into the space has made it easier probably for up to 300 million customers to access the marketplace.
And so are we indeed about to add this as a serious part of our payment system?
To put that in perspective, PayPal would be a top 10 banking institution. So the fact that they've now made it as simple as pushing a button on their platform and that platform is available to 300 million, I think it's fair to say that it's pretty much arrived in terms of accessibility. And then it's just a matter of do vendors want to accept it.
And this has once again waken up the other cryptocurrencies that have been out there for a while.
They are, and the space is clearly developed. We've now heard a lot about non-fungible tokens kind of related to the art market, which ties into actually to Charleston, South Carolina. And, you know, some of the cryptos have more technological purposes, others sort of investment purposes. Coinbase as well recently went public. So, you know, increasing applications and depth to the marketplace developing.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about non-fungible tokens and the artist who lives in Charleston, South Carolina, who kind of kicked off the news coverage of this.
Non-fungible tokens are an interesting way for artists and people with various types of intellectual property to have better control over their rights of distribution. The art market is a market that's well established, but obviously there's a wide dispersion of outcomes within art. So I will say non-fungible tokens, unlike other areas like Bitcoin, are going to trade much, much differently.
And you mentioned Coinbase. This is the company, the first company really, that got known for being a Bitcoin bank, right?
I wouldn't call it a bank. I'd call it more equivalent to like AOL, which made the internet initially accessible to a lot of people. Coinbase was the company that made it easy for people to access the cryptocurrency markets initially. But today, obviously, they host a little over 40 million accounts. So to put that in perspective, that's about 8 million more accounts than, say, Charles Schwab has.
This is how people add and withdraw from their cryptocurrencies, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a bank to me.
Yeah, except for it doesn't necessarily have the regulatory structure. So in that regard, I think an important aspect for your listeners to remember is in many ways, the cryptocurrency market would be more akin to the securities markets of the 1980s and 90s. Think of them like bearer certificates, or if you had physical stock certificates, you have to maintain much of your own infrastructure and codes and things like that.
Is this another alternative investment that would complement your portfolio and buffer changes that might happen in other sectors?
I certainly think investors are viewing Bitcoin as a substitute for gold, right? So traditionally, people might hold a certain amount of cash, either in cash or in the bank in deposit form, where you might earn a little bit of interest. Gold, if you didn't want to hold, say, U.S. dollars or euros, Bitcoin has certainly become an alternative. And I think people think of Bitcoin as sort of a internet version of gold, has many of those same functions and features traditionally as gold. And that's pretty much how the IRS views it, as something similar as well from a taxation standpoint. They treat it as a asset, not necessarily a currency, which has a little different tax treatment.
Well, Alan, as always, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Glad to do it.
Alan Gillespie is a chartered financial analyst with FinTrust Capital Advisors. He spoke to us by phone from his office in Greenville, South Carolina. He's also a member of the South Carolina chapter of the CFA Society. Remember, you can hear this show again at our webpage, southcarolinapublicradio.org, or you can also subscribe to this podcast with the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.